But when I studied this morning, I got to thinking, has there ever been a day, and I want to ask everybody here tonight, has there ever been a day that you have not been tempted by the devil? I cannot think of one day since I've been alive that I did not face some type of temptation. Maybe you have, and if so, that's great. In fact, I cannot even think of a day in my entire life that I haven't sinned. How about you? Now, I want you to understand tonight that Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights of the devil. Guess where he went to right after he came out of the temptation? If you've been tempted 40 days and 40 nights and you've come to church tonight, you're in a great place. So I want you to think with me for just a little while about the words that Jesus said when he came out of the temptation of the devil. Tonight's message will be gracious words from a gracious Savior. You ever wondered about those gracious words? A lot of people have, and they do. But look at verse 14 of the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Oh, I've been praying all day that the Spirit of the Lord would just be here before we ever got here tonight. That His Spirit would start working in the lives of every one of us that are here. And it says, and there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. I pray that there will be a fame of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to our sister churches, to all of our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, that the Lord is meeting with us at Fairview Memorial during this revival. It's not a week revival. It's not a two-week revival. It's revival. It will start when the Spirit of the Lord comes down among us. And it'll end when it is time for us to cause it to be an end. But look where he went. It says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Now, let's look at our reading lesson tonight in the 16th verse of the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. The title of the message, Gracious Words from the Gracious Savior of the World. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Bible says that he closed up the book. Now get this picture. He's laid this scroll out. He reads these books from the book of Isaiah, and then he rolls up the scroll, because that's what it is. It wasn't a book, it was scrolls. And as he closed up the book, he gave it again to the minister, and it says that he sat down. And it says, all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. I don't want you to fasten on me. I want you to fasten on Jesus tonight. Amen. Fast your eyes on Jesus. You say, but he's not here. Oh, his Spirit is here. You that are not saved, he's here. The reason you feel the way you do right now is because he's here. The devil is too. He is constantly, even in the church, trying to tempt us. And as he tempts us, If you don't give in to the temptation and give it to God, then you're not sinning. Jesus didn't sin, did he? Absolutely not. But I want you to understand, the devil beat him up one side and down the other and just antagonized him, and he'll do the same for you tonight. But Jesus, as he sat there and they all looked at him, he began to say unto them, "This day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And what they had just heard, what were they? They were gracious words. I'm telling you, there's nothing more gracious to know that my Savior came to open the eyes of the blind, to help the lame to walk, to preach deliverance to those that were captive to sin. He did all of these things, and he's still doing it tonight. But listen what it says. And all bear witness and wondered at his gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Well, listen to what Jesus said. He said unto them, "Ye will say, surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself, whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." Look real close at verse 25. These are still gracious words. He says, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias," that's Elijah, "when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel the time of Elias, which is Elisha." And it says, the prophet, "And none of them was cleansed, save Naaman the leper." And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. How are you going to be filled with wrath after listening to these gracious words? And so tonight, look at what it says. They rose up, they thrust him out of the city, and led him up to the brow of the hill whereon that city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. I pray that the Lord's word will be with power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit tonight. I want you to think about these gracious words that Jesus spoke here tonight, and I want you to really meditate and focus on these words that he set forth. First of all, let's look at the proverb. Did you notice he said this proverb? He said, "Physician, heal thyself, whatsoever we have heard," he said, "done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." Now, for a long time, I didn't really understand what that proverb really meant. But then I got to thinking about, you know, the doctor that's here tonight, Doc Mike or Dyke Collins, you know. And what is this really saying? Well, this is what it means. It's a crisp saying, which it involves a comparison, herein a tone of sarcasm. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, everybody said these are gracious words, you see. But what he's saying is the people that are hearing, they're taking it as sarcasm. You see, it means the doctor who is to take his own medicine for his healing. What it's trying to say is to give direct evidence of who and what you say you are. Jesus said in the word that he read from Isaiah, he said, "The blind see, Listen to what he says. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. But what this old proverb is saying is, if you really say you are who you are, then you ought to take your own medicine. Doc Collins, that's what he would say. If he got up tonight and was a witness of the salvation of his soul, he would tell you all the evidence you need that you might be able to believe for yourself that you can get saved by the grace of God tonight. Do you know that? Now listen. There's some things that we need to look at real close. What he's saying in this proverb is take your own medicine and heal yourself. You see, it establishes your claims to direct evidence. What they had heard him doing elsewhere, keep in mind, the same tone was hurled at him when he was even at the cross of Calvary. Did you know that? People were saying, if you are the Christ, prove yourself and come down. He is saying tonight to you that are here that you need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you need evidence that what he said he is doing is what he's going to do. And he's going to do it here, and he's going to do it now. They were demanding that he would do that. And he knew their hearts, and he knows your heart. Yeah. And so what does he do? He gives you some evidence. He gave them evidence from their own word. The first thing he says, I tell you a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. He said when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but listen to what Jesus said, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save the Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. How would you like to have been in that day? How would you have liked to live 3 years and 6 months and there's no water? There's no rain. And I'm telling you, things are really bad. What would you focus on? Would you focus on the goodness of God and the things that he can do? Or would you be focusing on the things that are going, wrong all around you? I'll tell you, as a human being, we'd be focused on those things and we'd be saying, why me, Lord, or why us, Lord? What have we done to deserve to go through this famine for 3 years and 6 months? But the good part is there was at least one woman in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. And you know what that woman was doing? She was suffering from this famine. But you know what? God, in his infinite wisdom, and people might say, well, how did Jesus know so much about this? I'll tell you how he knew so much about it. He was there. Amen. He saw it all. Yeah. He knew it all. He knew every detail of it. The thing I want you to realize tonight is Jesus puts forth a great example. He's going to set forth two examples. The first one was there was one widow woman. One widow woman that Elijah was sent to. And then we're going to look at Elisha. Elisha, you know what? Somebody came to him and said, would you go down to Naaman? And only one leper was cleansed in that whole time. And then we're going to look at another example tonight of how the Lord will leave the 99 and go look for one little lost lamb. That's the example and the gracious words that I have for you tonight. First of all, let's look at that woman in the 17th chapter of the book of Kings tonight. And as we look at these verses of scripture, I want you to see exactly what happened. Elijah the Tishbite, Ahab was the king at the time, and he said there's going to be a great famine, and so there was. But you know what? The Lord took care of his preacher. He took care of his prophet. You know how he did it? He said, I want you to go down. You're going to find a widow woman in Zidon. And when you find her, you tell her to fix you a cake. He said, just find her and tell her, I want you to do that. So he went down to the brook and he found this woman. You know what she was doing? She was out gathering sticks. She gathered up the sticks, and the prophet came to her and said, would you go and fix me a cake first? The woman looked at her, looked at him and said, well, I'm just going to gather these sticks, and I'm going to take the little bit of meal that's in my barrel. I'm going to take some oil. I'm going to make a cake for me and my son, and then we're going to die. But the prophet said, keep in mind, 3 years and 6 months, and they're in the middle of this great famine, and God tells the prophet to go tell that woman to make him a cake first. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what the Lord wants for you to do tonight, but whatever it is, be willing to just step out on faith and do it, and I'll guarantee you, God will bless you. Amen. Listen to what happened. It says here that Elijah sent for her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, bring it unto me, and after make thee and for thy son. And he said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the curse of oil fail. He said, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Oh, what a spectacular day that was. Do you remember what happened there? After Ahab and the prophets of Baal and all those things that happened, and that great famine that was in the world at the time, and the great destruction of all the fact that it hadn't rained, then the Lord said that Elijah went and prayed, and after he prayed, he said the Lord was going to send rain, and he sent his messenger out there, and the messenger went, and he said, we can't find any rain, and then the messenger came back and said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. I don't know. Are you looking for that cloud tonight? I am. I'm looking for somebody to get saved tonight. Are you? Did you come with that expectation tonight? Expecting the Lord with the gracious words? I'm telling you, the most gracious words I believe that Jesus has ever given is, I forgive. Think about that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But this woman, she went and she fixed that for Elijah and did according to the saying of Elijah, she and he and her house, and did eat many days. And it says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spake by Elijah. And so we see here, when you do what you're supposed to do, God will bless with gracious words and gracious blessings that only come from God Almighty. Amen. You see, that was what Jesus utilized there in the temple when he was telling them that there was one. And it doesn't tell us about any others, but there was one. And so we see that Elijah was sent to that one widow. There had to be other widows. There had to be other people that were hurting. There had to be other people that wanted to be sued. They wanted to have peace. They wanted to have solace. They wanted to be able to be able to just have a drink of water. They didn't even have it. But God provided for them, and Jesus used that as an example. Now let's look at the other term he used in these gracious words that he said. In 2 Kings, I believe it is, in the 5th chapter, we turn over there, and look what happened here in 2 Kings. Naaman, the captain. He was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance into Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. He had an incurable disease. He had a disease that was just oozing out of his body, sores all over him from the top of his head and other places. And if you were a leper, it was very contagious. And anybody else that would come around, you even had to, under the Mosaic law, you had to yell out, I'm a leper, so they would stay away from you. But you see, the Lord uses that as an example. He said there were many lepers in that day, but there was only one that was healed. That was Naaman the leper. Now, how did he get healed? Well, first of all, let's look. Let's look. Maybe many times you're in church and you feel like that you just don't have anything to offer. Maybe you feel like that you're just a captive to sin, or maybe you've been saved, but you just don't feel like that you've ever done anything, or what little you've done, it doesn't seem like it's been effective, and you haven't helped anybody. But you know, we sung that song tonight, if just one more soul will come down the aisle. We sung these songs about the Lord tonight and all of his goodness and all the things that he can do and all the gracious words. And as he begins to speak to your heart tonight, I want you to think about this woman, this little maid who was captive. She was a bondservant. And as she's a bondservant, she goes to her master's wife and says, If my master's husband were down where the prophet is, he would heal him of his leprosy. And so, word was sent to the king of Israel. They just went ahead and bypassed the prophet. They went right to the king of Israel. A lot of times that's what we'll do. God will give us specific directions on what we need to do. But we'll try to do it our way. This service tonight, we can't do it our way. We got to do it the Lord's way. And if it takes one little maiden to come and just place her hand on your shoulder or to say, we love you and the Lord loves you and he wants to save you, but you got to do it his way. They sent messengers to the king and he was wroth. He said, I don't have power to heal leprosy. What are you trying to do? Start up a war between us and our kingdoms? Word got back to Elisha and said, send that servant down to me. So the servant goes over to Elisha, and Elisha, he brings the servant in. And he tells the servant, the man of God does, he says, you go down and you tell Naaman. Said, you go tell Naaman to wash in the Jordan. And you wash 7 times in the Jordan. Now, if the Lord's telling you, you're going to have to come to this mourner's bench tonight, you're going to have to come to this altar, you're going to have to come up here, you're going to have to go to the restroom, the basement outside, wherever it is, and God is pulling at your heart and tugging you, you're going to have to do it just like he wants it done. Naaman, after he was told about this, keep in mind he's a mighty man of valor. And who's using this example? Jesus is, in his gracious words. He's saying there was one leper, that only one leper that was healed during that time. The whole time that Elisha was preaching to them. And so then, after Naaman got very wroth, very angry, he went away and he said, behold, I thought, did you know that? That's why a lot of people don't get saved. Because they think they need to do it this way, they need to do it that way. I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll thought yourself right into hell if you're not careful. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not into thine own understanding. You've got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one with gracious words. He said, I thought I could go to this river because it's not muddy. I could go to that river maybe because it's not too far. You see, everybody wants convenience. But Jesus is telling us in his gracious words and the words that he put forth to us that made all the people wroth. Think about that. After he said what he said, they were angry at him. They wanted him crucified. They wanted him put out. They wanted him put out of the synagogue. They didn't want him in there anymore. And I'll tell you, the majority of the world doesn't want him today. They don't want him. How about you? Do you want him? Do you really want him? So this other servant comes up to him and said, you know, as he went away in a rage. Who did? Naaman did. And yet Jesus still uses him as an example. He went away in a rage. He turned and went away, and the servant came near and spake to him. He said, my father, listen real close, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? You see, a lot of people, they say, well, if you'll do some great thing, maybe God will save you. I'm telling you, there's not anything you can do to be saved but repent of your sin. And trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put all your faith and trust in Him. And when He draws you, you got to come to Him just as you are. That's what Naaman had to do. Go just like he was. And so you know what he did? He said, well, I guess what I have to lose. And so he goes and he dips. He dips once, twice, three times. Four times, fifth time, sixth time. I can imagine how many times have you sought the Lord and tried it your way? Have you tried it six times? Have you tried it five times? Have you tried it at the mourner's bench? I'll tell you, when I was seeking the Lord, and all the times and all the years I was seeking the Lord, I would try everything that everybody else tried. Right. Yeah. Be honest. Boy, I want to get saved like Mama did. She got saved on the mourner's bench. I'd like to get saved at home because I don't want to see anybody see me crying. So I'd go in the basement. I'd get down by the washer between the dryer. I'd pray there. I'd pray every time, the thundering and lightning and all these other things. I'd run and hide under my mom and daddy's bed just trying to get saved. Why? Because I heard other people get saved that way. But you know, I'm going to go ahead and say this. You know how the Lord saves souls? One soul at a time between you and God. There could have been many a people, hundreds of people that would have went into that and dipped, 700 times for Naaman. But that ain't going to help. And it won't help you. This is what you have to do for yourself. That's what Jesus is conveying to us in His gracious words. So Naaman went that seventh time, and when he come up out of the water the seventh time, it says his flesh was just like a baby. He made a believer. He made a believer out of him. God made a believer out of him. And he come up out of there, and he said, I am whole now. Tonight, are you here? Are you lost? Are you separated from God? Is God speaking to you and saying these gracious words? I want to come into your heart. I want to save you. You see, the devil was even tempting them back then. You see, after Naaman the leper was cleansed, there was another servant that came to Elijah and said, well, you know what? Naaman was so thankful for what God had done for him that he took riches, he took money, he took other things. And he says, he offered it to Elisha and said, Elisha, take this. You know what? Elisha didn't want one dime. He said, no. This is all for the glory of God. But you know what? We've got a few servants that like to intervene too. You know what the servant did? Keep in mind, he's the only leper. The only leper that was cleansed during that time. And it says that this man by the name of Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving in his hands what he brought, but as for the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. In other words, I'm going to do this on my own, and I'm going to run, and I'm going to take some of those goods that Naaman has, and I'm going to take it back to Elisha, because you see, Elisha really doesn't know any better. He deserves to get this money. Let me tell you something. The devil will tempt you even in the service of the Lord. And it was a bad temptation. You know why? Because you know what happened to that servant? Evidently, that leprosy that went off in that muddy river, it rested right upon that servant. And it says right here that the leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence as a leper, as white as snow. What am I saying tonight? What I'm saying is we don't need to get in God's way. We just need to let God have His way with you, with these that are lost, with these that are seeking the Lord. And we need to encourage them. We need to pray for them. And we need to do our part, as God says, to do your part. Do no more. And don't do any less.
As we were singing these songs and these young ladies were up there singing, I began to reminisce of those that were here 25 years ago when I was here, and my daughter was on the altar seeking the Lord. And one by one, I could see them here, and I don't know, I just kind of got this vision of them all rejoicing in heaven, you know, over every soul that gets saved. You know that's in the Bible?
Yes, it is.
I want you to get this tonight, because God is so gracious and He's so good that He would lead, that He would help this widow woman and her son. And you know what? Her troubles weren't over. The son actually died. You know that? But God came on the scene again. How many times has God come on the scene? But I got to thinking about J.P. Dawson, Mary Dawson. I got to thinking about Brother Houchin. I got to thinking about Brother Wheat, the old deacon that was here when I came here. I got to thinking about all those that were around here, Brother Shepherd and others that would just, they would just serve the Lord, and they would just work for the Lord. They would sing from their heart, and they would pray for lost sinners. And I got to thinking that their works do follow them. I got to thinking about, as they left, there would be nothing that would thrill them more to hear that tonight there's one of those granddaughters of the brother and sister Carla that prayed for them. That there was one of them great-granddaughters or great-grandsons or a neighbor to a friend of somebody that brought a friend to the church to hear the gracious words, not of Ron Spurgeon, but of the gracious words of God. And you say, well, how does that happen? Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, these are gracious words. For you see, it says here, they drew near unto him, the publicans and sinners, to hear him. Now, if you're a publican or you're a sinner, you need to draw close to him. You need to draw close to him and hear what he has to say. Just as they did in his day when they were drawing close to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he says, and even eateth with them. Thank God he still receives sinners. But he does it one at a time. Oh, I know he can save five at the same time, but you know what he does? He doesn't just gather them up, five, and save them all at once. He does it individually. Say, but Brother Spurgeon, I want to pray, but I'm just not feeling it. That boy that got saved last week, the first five nights, he just wasn't feeling it. You go ask him, don't you want to seek the Lord, Carson? Just not feeling it. Said, I'm not going to go to that altar if I don't feel it. He never made it to the altar. He got saved in his seat. Maybe you're not feeling it, but I'm going to tell you right now, if Jesus is saying to you, come right now, you better acknowledge that you feel it. You might hide it from me. You may hide it from mama, daddy, grandparents, neighbors, and everybody else, but you're not going to hide it from God. Because you see, this is what Jesus said in the parable. He spake another parable to them. He says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, I would imagine there's probably about 100 people here. If we all started counting off, there might be about 100 people here. And let me tell you, God knows the thoughts of every one of you right now. What you're thinking, what you're thinking about, what you're not thinking about, and even the temptations that Jesus had to endure, some of those temptations you are getting right now. Turn it off. Get to church. You say, I'm in church. No, I said, turn it off and come on to church. Did you hear what I said? A lot of times we can be in church and not in church. Amen. Because we just haven't turned it off. Turn whatever it is that you're thinking about off. Think about the gracious words of Jesus Christ and think about what he is doing right now. He said that he would do this.
If he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? He said, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends, his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. He said, for I have found my sheep which was lost. You see, today, tonight, he's coming for that one lost lamb. It may be that one that's over here lost. It may be that one that's over here lost. But I'll guarantee you, he'll do the same for you as he did for me and he did for you if you're truly saved by the grace of God. I'm not talking about having your name on the church roll. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about signing a card. I'm talking about as Jesus searched you out and found you and you found him. He'll leave that one. He'll leave it. That one woman. That one widow woman, he sustained. That one leper Nathan, he sustained. And there was a lot of others, but he come after that one. And tonight, he's coming after you. He's coming after that one. And as he comes after you, he said, Jesus said, I say unto you, that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Tonight, if Jesus is leaving the 99 to go look for that one little lost lamb, just say, here I am. Here I am. Come, and Lord Jesus, come to me with those gracious words. You know what? When those gracious words came to those people, you know what they did? They were wrong. They were angry. I'll tell you, you're going to go through an emotional roller coaster. I mean, every person that's truly been saved by the grace of God, the reason that you know that you're saved is because the pains of hell got hold upon you. You found trouble and sorrow. And then the psalmist said, then called I upon the name of the Lord. And he said, I beseech him. And the Lord delivered his soul, and he'll deliver your soul tonight. But you are going to have to be the one to do it. And you that are here and the servants of God, we've got to do our part. And you say, what is my part? I don't know what your part is. My part was to deliver the message. Your part may be to pray. Your part may be to go and to say, are you lost? Do you want me to pray with you? Or you might need to come up and pray for yourself so that you can get in the condition, so that we can have a revival here as we met this morning. The only way that we're going to have a revival here is if the Holy Spirit sends it down.
Yeah.
But I believe that we, as God's people, if we really want people to be saved, and we pray to that end, we're going to have to focus on what he wants. Brother Strode, I think I'm done. And when I get to this point where I say I think I'm done, you better start singing, because I'm usually the one that will start right back up if I get another call. But tonight, if you're lost, and Jesus is saying to you, come, and you say, well, I'm just too embarrassed to go to that altar. God wants you to come to that altar. You better come on to this altar. Don't let, you know what? The reason you're thinking that way is because the devil's putting that thought in your mind. He's tempting you. Why? He would tempt them. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. I will, and I'm not even supposed to say that because my wife said he'll say it too much, but I guarantee you, he'll do it tonight to you. He will. He will. He will.
did what he said to do. And there's one thing left for him to do. Could be today, could be tomorrow, but he's coming again.
Amen.
Brother Strode and I were, and Brother Ronnie were out down at Cave City. We were singing "What a Meeting" in the air. And all these people were there. And I began to feel that the Lord was getting ready to just come down. And I was ready to meet him in the air. And you see, one thing he's got left to do is he's coming back. And when he does, ready or not, he's coming back. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for me. And you that are not saved, you have your opportunity. Don't let it pass you by.
Number 75. Let's follow the Lord tonight. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Our dear Savior will come someday, wonderful words of life. Come to rapture His bride away, wonderful words of life. Glory, 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 shout the wondrous story. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life.